Hi, welcome to Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle Delino, divorce and family law attorney with Delino Family Law Group. We have offices in Seattle and Bellevue, and we serve clients all over Washington State. I'm here with my co-host, Amy Alpeza, who is a certified real estate divorce specialist with Windermere, and we are happy to be here today. Amy, how are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a sunny day here in the Pacific Northwest, so I'm happy to be here and excited to talk to you guys today about our next topic.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than a nice day, especially now that it's spring. So that's I kind of feel like we thought it would never come, but here we go. All right, so let's talk about today's topic. Every time we do a meetup, every time we have a webinar, every time something comes up where people are just kind of diving into what's going on with divorce, they have a question. And that question is, what is community property? What is it? How do I divide it? What does it even mean? Community property is a term that gets thrown around a lot, whether it's about real estate, your bank accounts, your retirement accounts. So Amy, I think we can just talk about what community property is. You have a lot of clients too that are asking this question.
Yeah. I mean, this is the one topic that comes up in every divorce situation, right? And because Washington State is a community property state, people don't realize what exactly that means. Like, we get people who think that it's a 50-50 state, people who think, well, what's mine is mine and yours is yours. People who don't understand, you know, how inheritance falls into that. Real property, but yeah, Michelle, why don't you tell our listeners, what is community property and how does that differ in Washington?
Totally. The first thing I think it's really helpful to tell people is every state, every case has community and separate property questions that have to be answered. Every case, even if people say, I don't have anything, I don't have a house, it doesn't matter, you still have community property. I don't have anything, I hardly have any money, it doesn't matter, you still have community property. So I'm just gonna first define for everybody like what community property is. And then you made a really good point, Amy, a lot of people think that just means we split everything 50-50. Doesn't mean that in Washington. So then we'll talk about, once we know what it is, how do we divide it? So what is community property? Community property, your community, I always talk about it this way with people. It's basically a pot, and it's a pot that all of your marital assets and also community debt, all of your assets and debt go in this pot. And so your community property is every asset, every piece of, it's your wages, it's anything that you earned or received during your community. And your community basically started when you got married, or it could have started with cohabitation before marriage in some cases, but it started when you got together and started living together. And then it ended either when you separated, which could be different for a lot of people. That could be when somebody moves out. For some people, it's not until they finalize the case, but it starts when you start and you got together, and it ends when you actually separate, even if your divorce isn't finalized. So everything goes in this pot in the middle. It's your house, it's your cars, it's the dishes in your house, it's your sofa, it's your pets, because pets are property.
Retirement.
It's the money that you earn. It's the money you earn at your job and the retirement account you put money into. It's everything is community. And community property is what you get during that time. There's a few exceptions to that that we call separate property. Separate property are anything that is before you got together that you continued to keep during the marriage. That is still separate property unless you change it. And if you received an inheritance during the marriage and it was just to you and you kept it separate, that is separate property. So there's a few exceptions to the rule. Or if you had a separate property business that you had before you got married and then it kept making money during the marriage, some of those wages might be separate property. So there's exceptions, but basically anything you earn, anything you've got while you're together is community property. And every case you have to decide, what do we do with it? Because if you have bank accounts that are in your name, your spouse has bank accounts that are in his or her name, and you think, well, we never had joint accounts, so we don't have any community. That's not true. Right. The thing to know about community property is that name on title doesn't matter. Right. So when I say name on title doesn't matter, it means if I had a bank account that I opened while we were married and I was putting money in there, even though my husband wasn't on it, he still has a community interest in it. It is still community property. So we still need to decide when we finalize your divorce, who gets that account? That's just the way it goes. Every piece of community property needs to either be divided or awarded to somebody during the divorce, right?
So
does that make sense, Amy, the way I've explained it?
Totally makes sense. But I've also heard this about 100 times.
Yeah, this is true.
It's
this
easier
is
for me. But you know, the other thing that I think we get a lot of pushback on, and you tell me what you hear on your end, but I mean, don't you get spouses who come in, they're like, well, these are the wages that, you know, this retirement account is what I paid into from my job, and my spouse didn't work. So why do I have to give part of my
account to my spouse? And that's a really good question. And I think the biggest thing for people to understand is that the law in Washington doesn't care who specifically earned the money. If you earned the money while you were together and your spouse was not working or stayed home, the law in Washington, it's not about who earned it and what's fair. The law specifically is that both parties have an interest if it was earned during the community. But that is something we get all the time. I earn the money. It's my pension. It's my 401k. It might be, but because you earned those wages during the marriage, those wages are what funded the pension or the 401k, and that asset is community. That's a really good question.
Yeah, or the ability for your spouse to stay home, you know, whether it was to take care of children or not. I mean, the thing that people don't realize is in Washington State, because we are such a progressive state, they are looking at you make decisions as a family, as a couple, for the benefit of your family or yourselves as a couple. And so you go into those decisions, like you go into that with your eyes wide open, regardless of who makes the contributions to retirement account. So I think that's really important to specify. I have a case right now where, you know, and oftentimes we find it more often than not where it's skewed towards, you know, husband is working, wife stays home with the kids. But how do you find it? Like right now I have a case where I have a client who, you know, she has worked her entire life. They have been married a long-term marriage, no kids. He basically has stayed home. And, you know, for lack of a better term, she's the one who's brought in all the money. And now the same thing goes. So I just want to point out that like Washington isn't a biased state against men or women in terms of who brings in, you know, who brings home the income, right?
And that's important for you to say. That's really important for you to say, Amy, because I always tell people, and they don't even get it, but it's true. There's no legal presumption for the mother in Washington. Some states still have a presumption that mom should be the primary parent. Well, in Washington, there's no presumption for mom. It's really what's in the best interest of the kid. And mom can be the breadwinner, just like you said. Like mom can be the breadwinner, and it doesn't matter. Mom could end up paying dad spousal maintenance, or mom can end up giving dad more of the community if dad stayed home to take care of the kids. It can go both ways. That's a really good point. And a lot of people don't even like wrap their minds around that, that it's gender blind, basically. Yes.
Exactly. Which is good in most cases, but I think when you're representing or working with the party who is the higher income earner, it's really difficult for them to understand that and to process it. So
it really is. So, and I think it's important for people to understand now that we've talked about what community property is, I think we need to talk about like, what do you do with that? How do you divide it? Because you just heard me say, and we just talked about how one party might get more of the community than the other, or one party might pay the other spousal maintenance. So now that you know what community is, which is everything anybody earned, no matter what name it is, with a few exceptions, and any debt, like it could also be, I had a credit card and I put a bunch of stuff on it. And even though my spouse's name wasn't on it, that's a community debt during the marriage. So I think that's huge for people to know. So once you know what all of that is, the next question is, how do you divide it? Like, what happens? So California, our neighbor to the south, is a huge community property state. And California, I like to bring up because it's what we call a 50-50 state. In a California divorce, nobody cares how long you were married, who stayed home, how much people are making. Anything just gets divided 50-50. So for some reason, a lot of people go into their Washington divorce hearing that or thinking that community property means 50-50. It doesn't. In Washington, we are not a community property state. We are what I call a just and equitable state. Those are the magic words in Washington. So someone says, hey, I have community property. How do I divide it? A Washington court would tell you that it needs to be divided along just and equitable lines. And so that is supposed to mean whatever's fair. Well, there's not a lot of universal definitions of fair. I always tell people, fare is what you pay to get on the bus, or fare happens every year at the Puyallup, but there's no like fare. What I think is fare is probably not what my husband would think is fare. So at the end of the day, what it really means is when you look at how to divide that community, Washington law means you look at what's the story of your marriage. You look at number one, how long is the marriage? Community property is going to be divided way differently in a 3-year marriage than it is in a 13-year marriage or right. even a 25-year marriage. And then you look at, like you were talking about, what's the financial situation of the parties? Did one person stay home, whether it was mom or dad? And what's the current financial situation and income earning potential right now? How old are the parties? Are there kids at home? Like all of those things are going to factor in. And so sometimes what it means in, let's just say, a midterm marriage, which is 6 years or more up to a long-term marriage, somebody that's married a really typical amount of time, 10 years, and they're getting divorced, they got a couple kids, and one party makes $200,000 a year and the other party just got back to work and maybe they make 50. Well, right. what's going to happen in that situation is the less money spouse, that spouse making $50,000 a year who might have stayed home or who might be out of the workforce, they're going to take more of the community property than the other spouse because it's going to take them longer to financially recover from the divorce. So that would be what Washington law would consider just and equitable. To do equity, so the parties can leave the marriage on more equal footing, the person who makes less and has less income potential right away is going to take more to sustain their lifestyle. So people are leaving on equal footing, at least for the time being. So you might see community property divided 60-40. You might see it 55-45. I've even seen 75-25. That's rare, but, you know, or it might be 50-50, just depending right. on the situation. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, there's not a magic number. It's not an easy math problem, which means there's more to talk about.
Right. Definitely. And I think, I mean, this is such a heated topic. Like we could probably spend hours and hours talking about it. But I think today we really, the goal is to get across what is community property and not giving you a formula for how to divide it, but some options and things to think about. The other thing I just want to throw in about community property is if you aren't married, and you are thinking about moving in together, or you're thinking about buying property together, because a lot of people, and especially millennials or people who have been divorced and don't want to get remarried, but they have a long-term partner, like even, you know, my situation, if you're thinking about buying real estate together, think about the ramifications if something doesn't work out between the two of you. So do you have an LLC set up? Do you have some type of a partnership agreement? Do you have a cohabitation agreement set up prior? But just thinking about if things don't work out for us, like I have a young couple, they're first time home buyers, and they are going into this. They're not married. They've been together several years, but they're buying their first property together. And one of them is on title because she's the one working. She's the one putting the down payment, and her partner is in school. And so for them, you know, and he won't be out of school for probably a year and a half, right? So it's like, for them, this would be a really great thing to think about is like, what if their relationship breaks up, right? Like, does he still have claim to this property because he hasn't put any money down? He's probably not paying the mortgage, but they will be living together, right? And cohabitating. So just some things to really consider and think about. And not that, you know, I don't want to put it out there like you have to have a prenuptial agreement in place, but sometimes
you should.
and a lot of times it really does make sense to have a cohabitation agreement in place. And I think with, you know, especially the younger generation, they're much more savvy about, hey, I'm working, he's working, or what we're both working. We both want to go through life and with our eyes wide open, right? And there's no stigma around, hey, let's have this discussion. If things don't work out with us, what do we do, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. You made a really good point about the agreements because it is true. You know, a lot of people beg on millennials about different things, but I'll tell you what, millennials are smart when it comes to being forward thinking. And also too, older generations, Generation X even, and boomers, like really have a negative idea about prenuptial agreements and cohabitation agreements. And you really shouldn't. I mean, take it from me. I do this for a living. And I can tell you right now, I just told you about community property and there's a lot to figure out. You're going to spend tens of thousands of dollars finding a about how to deal with it. Or
Right.
you could spend a whole lot less than that and come up with an agreement early on, whether you're married or unmarried, given the law in Washington, that determines what's going to happen with your community property if you break up. It will save you so much and so much ugliness and so much money in the long run. And millennials seem to have figured that out. They seem to be like treating it more like, this is just an insurance policy. I might never need it, but if I do, it's here and it's done. And that, not like it's some kind of plan that we're going to break up or I don't trust you, because it's not. A prenup or a cohab is really an investment in love and trust that basically says, if this goes wrong, we are not going to waste our money and destroy each other. You hope you never need it, but it's a really, you make a really good point that people are being more forward looking. And I think you really should. You kind of can't afford not to, especially these days. The other thing I'll mention just about that is some people say, I don't need a prenup. I don't need a cohabitation agreement. I don't have anything. It's about as much what you will have as what you already do. So just a thought. Yeah. But anyway, I think the succinct takeaway from this is community properties, everything that you acquire while you are together with some exceptions, dividing it is going to depend on your circumstances, and you definitely need direction about it. And how you can define that ahead of time is through a cohabitation agreement or a prenup or postnup. So hopefully that helps people out there kind of think about how to chart a course moving forward.
Definitely. Definitely. So good. Well, this was all good today. If you guys have any follow-up questions about community property or cohabitation agreements, feel free to send us a direct message.
Definitely message us, email us, get in touch any way that you want. We'd love to hear from you. So thanks so much. Have a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode.